The Lord says to stay under His blood this morning. Stay under His covering, day in and day out. I'll always be with you as you shelter with me.
Amen.
But stay with me. Don't step out from me. Fully trust me, says the Lord. Surrender. Surrender your mind. Surrender your thoughts. Surrender your ways for my ways. Trust me, says the Lord. Amen. Who better is there to trust than Jesus? No one. No. Who sticks closer than a friend than Jesus? Wow, what were you singing? He called me friend, huh?
I'm a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. I'm thinking, what was going through my mind is, you ever have your mouth get you in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. He can work with a bunch of honest people, you know. You ever have that friend you have to call in the middle of the night and say, hey, I need some help here? You know, what's going on? Well, I might have had one or two to drink, and I ran my mouth down here at the J90s or downtown tavern. I need you to come help me out. You know, that true friend will come down. He'll walk through the door, and what goes to my mind, I know kind of weird, but bad, Leroy Brown, the baddest man, okay, comes in and boom. Now, even though you get yourself in that own situation yourself, and your friend might say, okay, listen, you got to do better the next time. That friend still comes to you. That friend's still with you. And folks, that's our God. That is our God. Oh, I'm telling you what. You might be sitting here this morning and your mouth got you in trouble. Your thought life got you in trouble. Whatever it is, you know, God is there. Okay, come on. I'm coming in. You might get a couple of lumps because you open your mouth up too much. But here I am. Come on, let's go. Follow me. And I just him putting his arm around you. Come on. Well, I'm sorry. I know you're sorry. I'm sorry. Someday you're going to learn, God says. But he stays with us. That's a true friend. I laughed yesterday. I listened to a story from Uncle Ray. Some of you guys might know Uncle Ray, Aunt Karen on Friday nights. And this kind of struck me funny. He's in the maturity area of aging. Okay? I think he's 85 maybe. Still a young guy. But he got a call. 80? Oh, he's a young guy yet. Okay. But he has a granddaughter who came up from the South, lived in the South all her life, came up here to live with them for a while. And they live out in the country in a log cabin. And she's not used to driving on snow. And she was coming home one night late after work and going up a hill and got this car. It must be a small car. And she got stuck on the hillside. I mean, this is in the middle of the night. She picks up the phone, calls her uncle. He gets out of bed with Grandpa, okay. My uncle, yeah. We got one of them families where Grandpa's your dad, your aunt, no, I just kidding. Okay, calls Grandpa. What's that? Never mind. But calls Grandpa. He gets out of bed, pajamas on, puts on a pair of boots, get his wife, Aunt Karen, get in the car, drive to the hill where she's at, parks her car on top of the hill, walks down the middle of the hill, has Aunt Karen get in the car, their granddaughter gets out, and Uncle Ray and their granddaughter behind the car, and he's pushing his car up a hill. And it took him an hour. He pushed it a while, he'd take off and get stuck in. Push one. And I thought, my lands, I mean, is that love? I mean, if it was me, I'll be honest with you. I would have showed up, we took the car, pushed into the ditch, went home, called AAA, and had a tow there. But I thought, man, I mean, that's a tremendous. And she had no one else to call. She's new in the area. But she knew, man, I'll call Grandpa, he'll come. And folks, that's the same way of God is, you know? Now, I would imagine when she got home, he might give her some driving instructions for the next time. Amen? But he was there for her, man. To me, that's our God. And I tell you, the more we know his heart, and I mean, too many times we shut down because we don't do what we want to do. Put it this way. We do what we want to do. We don't do what he wants us to do. And we feel bad about it, so we kind of close up inside, don't we, for a while. We don't have that fellowship with God. How can I talk to him? But I'm telling you, God wants you to talk to him. Most of the way, he wants, let's talk this out a little bit. You know how it is when something goes wrong and you know you have to apologize. You just know it inside of you, but you keep putting it off. How much relief is there the minute you apologize? What opens up the brain? You think, well, if I apologize, will this person receive it or not? Well, doesn't make any difference. But boy, when you apologize, and then right there, oh, it's okay, come here. That's what God did with us. And over and over and over again. See, if you go back to God, you want to apologize, then you have a heart, you want a heart like God. Amen? And he loves that, you know? Your kids come to you, hey, I blew it again. I know, come on, let's try it again. Yeah, because they haven't given up yet. And you know, even if we might give up on ourselves from time to time, God never gives up on us. You ever have somebody show up one day, like out of the blue, and exactly what you needed? Maybe a phone call? You ever go to the mailbox and get a card out? You just needed that. Well, God knew that. See, when Jesus, I'm going to go away, and I'll be sitting at the right hand of the Father, I will always intercede for you. He does that through us. Amen? Understand that. Brother Jim, can I borrow you for an illustration? If I can. If I can remember how to do this, but it was in my head earlier, so that's a scary place to be at times. But when Jim Domer came to Jesus, surrendered his life to the Master. It was like, I know, it might be kind of short, but put this coat on, will you? My coat might be short, but Jesus never is. Okay. If you overlook that, I'm sorry. If you overlook this part of it here, just look at this part up, okay? He says, okay, Jim, I got you. You're under my blood. Your sins are forgiven. But I need you to do me a favor. I don't have any authority here on earth except working through you and each one of us. See, only flesh and blood has authority on earth. Amen? I mean, because he gave dominion to mankind. That's why Jesus came into flesh to conquer the evil one, release us from our sins. Now he comes, he lives in us, but he works through us. Think of that for a second. I mean, ever give your kids instructions and they don't follow them? And you have to go down and clean up for them later on, maybe. And see, remember, that's what God did to us. I mean, he made the universe, put us in it, gave us authority, warned us, hey, don't do this evil thing. You know, evil is already in the earth. Satan's already been cast down. Eat from the tree of life, otherwise follow the word of God. And we blew it. But God didn't give up on us. And Jesus looked down and said, Look what's going on down there. I'm paraphrasing. You won't find this in Genesis or any place else, but this is why he came. He looked down and he saw what's going on. Hey, Dad. Yes, son. You know when we cast that, what was that dude's name was up here? I thought he was going to be like you, Dad. Lucifer, yeah. You know when we cast him out here? Yeah, yeah. He's down there on that earth. Look what he's done to your creation. I'm sick of it. All he is a fallen angel. And look how buffaloed they are now. I mean, they think he is the ruler of everything. They think they had no choice. Come on. I'm going down. Send me down there. I'm going down there. I'm going to kick them out of their hearts. Who do you think he is? Lucifer is only a fallen angel. Not deity, not God. Jesus and Lucifer are never spirit brothers. Don't believe any of that stuff. So, okay. All right, son, go on down. Come in the earth. Had to come in a physical body because God gave flesh and blood dominion over it. He gave it to you. Every one of us, our ancestors, going back to Adam and Eve, was given dominion over this world. We had a title to it. Amen? Well, what did our great grandpappy Adam and Eve do? They signed the deed over to Lucifer, to Satan. But that was, should have been our inheritance. But it was robbed from them because they got deceived. So Jesus came upon this earth in a physical body, lived a sinless life, was wrongly crucified. They couldn't put him to death. He never sinned. But he purposely took your sin upon his shoulders. With that sin, he could die. He had to bar your sin to die on the cross. Wow, that's how much he loves us. He died, was buried, rose up again. Boom. 40 days later, ascended into heaven. Sent the Holy Spirit. Now, when you receive the Master, Jesus, your Savior and Lord, say, okay, I got you covered, your sins forgiven. But I need to work through you. I need you to do what I did on earth. I need you to be me. I don't want you to take this inheritance I just gave you, this free life now, and use it on yourself. I want you to use it for me. Because just as I rescued you, there's millions and millions of more out there that need to know me. It ain't going to be easy. But I'm telling you what, you can do it. You can do it. How can we do it? We have to have our heart changed from our human clay heart into the heart of a compassion of Jesus. That's the only way. That's the only way we can do this. And I know right now we might be struggling a lot. We're losing sight of things. We still have our eyes set too much upon this earth. Because our heaven is our home. But we're here for a mission. Folks, military folks, sent out overseas, wherever you might have been, even in the United States, stationed somewhere away from your family, you went, you had a longing to be back home again. You had a longing to be around loved ones. But while you were stationed somewhere else, you did the job that you took on. When you swore allegiance to the United States of America, you did the job wherever they put you at. But you had a longing to go home. Us, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, man, we have a longing, like Mom Griffin did this week, to be in the presence of the living God. Woo, to be there, I can imagine the rejoicing going on. That's where our heart is. But our commander-in-chief, Jesus the Christ, Yahweh, our God, has got us stationed here to serve Him, to reach out to others, and like we said last week, to be that salt and that light of this earth. Nothing to do with us. It's with others. And the only way we can do that is getting our heart changed more like God. That's for every one of us. I mean, every one of us. I mean, probably this past week I said, anybody put your foot in the mouth this week? Hey, did anybody did not represent Jesus the way we should this week? And probably a lot of us say, yeah, I blew it over here, I blew it over there. Okay, well, God wants to change it. He forgives you, but He wants to change that blowing part, that goofing up, not representing. He wants to change that heart around, because how important it is. The person that you're worshiping in front of, you say, worshiping? How you live your life is worship, amen? It is, that's how you worship God. You know, in here, boy, the presence of the Lord this morning, you guys are worshiping and made His presence here. That's awesome. When you step out in the world, everything that you do shows a worship for our Lord. And so when we go through persecutions, when you go through times when people are just stepping all over you and stuff, and we're just serving the Lord, loving the Lord, man, that's an awesome worship to the Lord. I think we would call that a sacrifice of praise. You know what I'm saying? When you're wrong, when you're correct, when you know that you're right in your thinking and you're right in what you're saying, and someone comes against you and steps all over you, how you handle that can be a sacrifice of praise. We have a situation. I had a situation, a family member, not a cousin, okay? Do not see eye to eye on anything. I mean, it got so bad that when I would share things for encouragement to folks on Facebook, always bashing me and coming against me, and I just... So that's why I'm sorry to upset you if you don't see the way well, I do. I post these things for those who follow. And then I do what everybody else would do. I blocked them. But I want to praise the Lord that at the home gathering for Mom Griffin, there he was sitting there. And I thought, well, I'm going over there and I'm going to tell him peace of my mind. No. Went over there, embraced him, shook hands, and talked. You know what I'm saying? To represent the Master, you know? And that's what he wants to do. So he needs his heart now to become his heart, to change. And the hardest part at times is that this old heart that we had can get stirred up again, can it not? Things can make you start thinking the way you used to think. Little things intrigue you. How awesome the presence of God was this morning, amen? And the worship, you guys are worshiping him. Wow. And your mind was focused on the Lord? On God, he's awesome enough, he's a friend, man. Now, let's remove these guys here, and let's bring in a foreigner. Not a foreigner. The group, the singing group. Who did you used to listen to back in the day?
Foreigner.
Okay, Foreigner, one of them, okay. ACD, you can bring back in music from the past, and the next thing it's going to do... It's going to maybe start transferring you thinking back in the time. Back in the time when you wasn't walking with the Master. You ever put a song in and it just kind of pumps you up a little bit? You know, which is awesome. Christians are like, man, yes, Lord, oh, I'm ready. But other ones, Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. How many times you put that in coming to town, going to you, you're going to whoop somebody. You know what I'm saying? You get in town, I'm going to take care of them. You drive around the youth center three or four times, you don't see him, you go eat a burger somewhere. But I'm just saying, what's that? Oh, get whipped. I've never got whipped, buddy. I'm telling you what, I had the fastest car that time. No one caught me. Yeah, amen. But again, to be in this form of worship, day in and day out, our mind has to be set on Jesus. It has to be set on the things of the Lord. And that means overcoming some of the temptations we have to entertain ourselves from the old days. You know, again, changing this heart more of God. And I'm telling you what an awesomeness. People in your lives today are watching you as they see more and more of Christ taking over you and the way you respond and talk with them and how you love the Lord. You'll be changing lives. I'm telling you what. I'll put it this way. God's going to be changing a lot of lives through you as we sacrifice ourselves for his kingdom. Man, get our eyes focused on him. I can get my coat back now. Do you want to keep that one?
No, it's a little
loose. A little short. Okay, well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. But, you know, God's coat one size fits all. Amen? Oh, there it is. I couldn't find my... Yeah, I'll get back on here. So we want to just step back a moment to last week again on our hearts. And I'm going to visit this for a moment in Psalms 35 again. Because God isn't... God's word is for every day and not just on Sundays. And we all know that, but sometimes we forget when we get up the next day. Amen? I mean, I think in the morning you get up and you have a time of worship with the Lord, whether reading the word of God or worship CDs and stuff. It gets our mindset for the whole day. You ever wake up late and run out the door? Sometimes your day doesn't go very well, does it? Psalms 35, I'm just going to jump into verse 11. If probably go down to 16 maybe. But just a reminder, we're going to look at David for a moment. And he's talking about all those who's coming against him. He says that the malice witnesses rise up, and they ask me of things I do not know. They repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. He's saying, man, I do all this stuff for them. I've done this stuff for my enemy, and look how they repay me of evil. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. He's saying, I went about praying for my enemies as if they were my brother or my sister. He said, my heart was pouring out to them. I bowed down, mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiters whom I did not know gathered together against me. They slander me without ceasing. Like godless jesters at a feast, they gashed at me with their teeth. See, David was getting a heart like God. In fact, God himself, remember, he said, man, David had a heart after me. How did he get to that point? By humbling himself, by fasting. I mean, how can you pray for your enemies? How can you right now pray for those who's coming against you? Look at our country. How can you pray for those controlling this country today? Folks, God has called us to pray for them. Amen? He did. And the only way you can get your heart with him is through humbling yourself, praying and fasting. And he got to the point, he said he prayed for them as mourning as if it was a brother. Got to the point that he saw their evil deeds. Now, I don't know why they're doing this against me, God. Because he's interceding for them, for God to touch them. But look what he said. The prayers that I prayed for them. Prayed for safety, prayed for their health. It came back to David. What he was wanting God to bless his enemies with came back to him. Wow. Because David was getting a heart as God. It's only God in us can cause us or allow us to pray for those that you want nothing to do with. But you have to remember that in the eyes of God, each one of you was there at one time. Your own righteousness is like filthy rags. Think of that. We can't forget how much we needed Jesus. We can't forget how much He loved us. We can't get to the point of, but then they all can go to hell. You know what I'm saying? They are, man, I've never been that bad. God made hell for people just like that. God made hell for the fallen angels. And they're deceiving us. And God's here to rescue us. All of us. And we got to get to the point. Every day, God, you and me today. Let my eyes be your eyes. And the only way is to get that way is do the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus lived in a place like you and I do. But the only way he strengthened himself was through prayer with the Father and fasting, making his flesh be subject to him, taking control of it. When we lash out at people, that's our flesh coming back. And whatever we put in will come back out. And God wants us, he wants him to come out of us. Amen? That's what he wants. When he says, hey, listen here. What a friend he is. God is my friend. He said, okay, I know it's going to be tough sometimes, Joe. It's going to be tough once in a while. You call me, God strengthen me. I'm going to go down there. I want to thump them people. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them, God. But remember, when they come against you, they should be coming against the God that lives inside of you. They should hate you because of Jesus in you. And remember, Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. But what did the master do? He continued to love them. To the point, they couldn't find a reason to crucify him. They couldn't find one thing he ever said or did to cause him to be arrested. Anybody here can say that? I can. Go through my life and you find all kinds of things to say, oh. But now with us, as we demonstrated with Jim, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We're being forgiven. We're his family. We're his hands and his feet now. Oh, my. And say, okay, guys, it's going to get worse. It's going to get tougher. Oh, they're going to hate you so much. Oh, my. Just your presence. You're going to be somewhere and you're going to be nice to somebody. You're going to say, oh, here, I got $3. Here, go ahead, get your groceries. Yeah, I don't want them things. What's wrong? Why would they do that? Because your spirit, the spirit of the living God, is going to be in conflict with their spirit. Right away, they're going to notice. And all we can say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Don't get upset. I mean, at least you still got the $3, right? But preparing. I mean, we are still in the boot camp stage right now. God is still comparing every one of us, preparing us for the awesomeness that's coming. This revival, this awesomeness. As we seek closer to Him and humble ourselves more and more. Those of you been praying for interceding for salvation? Wow. We have to look back beyond. I mean, we look at Mr. Biden today. Is anybody's heart breaking for Mr. Biden? I mean, number one, his medical condition. And he's being used. Now, we look at Mr. Biden, we can go back over his last 45 years. I think we can trace him back in his affairs. We can see all the things that he has done contrary to the Word of God. All right? I mean, you all can do the same for me. You go back years ago and say, oh, Sarkey did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. And you keep going down and down and down. Then one day you're going to see, wait, all this stuff here is written in black, but what's written in red down here towards the bottom? Right, when he's 43 years old, well, that's the blood of Jesus. Born again. But prior to that, you can see exactly where I was going. Well, Mr. Biden, the same way, yes, he has sowed. He's done this all his life. I'm telling you what, he has never had any outward appearance at all, anything to do with God, truly as the living God. But does that change God's love for him? Is his heart still broken? God's heart, yes. Same way he looked down and he saw us, the way we were. Jesus said, listen, I'll go down and rescue them. He didn't say, oh, I'll go down there and grab Jim and I'll get Steve over here and Ryan back here. Starkey, I don't think so. And folks, the only... Our heart has to get the point. Well, as we follow God, we want the heart of God where we are weeping. Our heart is broken. Not for what we're going through. Not because... Of things that mean nothing in eternity. But those are so lost. Those who, man, that may we fast, we pray, God, give me, I need your heart. Maybe you're pointing today, and you're like I was, even after I got born again. I made comments about a couple people, national known people. Well, they can go to hell. That was my hiding. They deserve it. Anybody deserve hell? They need it. Wow, then I found out I deserved hell myself. My heart started changing. I hated the sin. I hated what they did to people. I hated what it caused. But I looked at them like, man, they've been deceived somewhere. And started praying for them. We had a terrible crime take place here. A week and a half ago here in Coshocton. Terrible. It changed two people's lives, or more than that, forever. Now, we've been praying for the little girl and her family. But who's been praying for the guy over in jail? Who's been praying for their family? I know. I'm not sure what took place. But at least two lives there have been changed forever. And God's still there to rescue him. And all those in that case. God can take tragedy if his people intercede and pray and be his hands and feet and turn it around. But we have to have his heart to do that. And we gotta have a desire to do that. And it's not popular preaching, probably, a whole lot. But look what David did. What does Jesus tell us to do? Pray for your enemies. And did David obey? I mean, he didn't say, oh, God bless him. I mean, it wasn't just a two-second thing. He lived a life of praise, praying for his enemies. As if they were brother, their heart was breaking. Whether they were sick or how they were treating him up. Man, they don't understand. They don't understand. Look at you guys. Why wouldn't anybody love you? Amen? Born again. Children of Jesus, of the Father. They should all love you. But some of them don't. Some of them despise you. Some of them keep bringing your past back up. Because they don't know. They don't know the Lord. And I keep looking at quite a few people. I mean, just wait. You wait. The Lord, they get a hold of the Lord, but they're going to be turned upside down. All this energy they're using to come against Jesus and speak against him, and using their platform wherever they are in society, man, when God gets a hold of that mouth, watch out. And that's how we pray. Hey, Father. Interceding. Otherwise, again, he's saying, Jim, you're my hands, my feet, my voice. Okay, the only way you're going to be able to do this thing if my heart lives in you. And you come a long way, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet. More of me. Seek me like you never have before. As you fast, as you pray, as your heart is turned over to my heart, man, the things that you're going to see taking place. And the same ones who've been coming against you, going, thank you one of these days. Thank you for what all you've done for them through Jesus Christ. And always to give God the glory. If I stand here today and say, well, can God meet all our needs today? Amen, he can. Yes, yes. Like he says in the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay. Can God protect you today? Is God a healer? Truly, is he? Is he the most powerful thing ever? Is he a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Amen. Amen. With all that we are saying here, his heart is saying, okay, I want you to step up more to the plate. I want you to believe what you're saying. And we're going to jump in the book of Daniel for a moment. I got my Bible with me. What kind of preacher is that? Carrying a Bible around here, you notice it. We're going to plow just a few minutes here in the book of Daniel. And it just shows you some awesome things that took place when Daniel believed in God. He followed God. He didn't care what you said. Jehovah, Yahweh, is the true God. And that's where his allegiance was. Man. To every situation we get involved in, to look for the opportunity to share Jesus, or at least let Jesus shine through us. Well, when I say to share Jesus, sometimes it is a verbal expression of his life, death, and resurrection. Sometimes sharing Jesus is letting his love, his light just shine through you. Like, man, oh, I can't believe you did that. Okay? But that's, again, I keep saying over and over, but that's the allegiance that he needs from his followers today. You know, the old song, "The none go with me, I still will follow," and that's what he's saying today. Okay, come on, guys. I need every part of you. Every part of you. And look what Daniel did. I'm going to start with chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I'm going to chew up some of these names when I speak them out, okay? I'll let Kenny recite them for me. Some of the names, I'll tell you what. But in the third year of the reign
of Jehoiakim.
Thank you. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Wow. He came and took over God's city, God's people. And then on the verse 3, then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youth whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him in to teach the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from wine, which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, and Abednego. We always said Abednego when I learned it. Okay. But the point we're at right now, they were taken captive. I mean, someone else came and took charge of their city. They were taken to captivity, and the king selected Daniel and his buddies there to come and serve in his court. They said he must be good-looking, intelligence. So he took all the gifts that God gave him and brought him into his court, and he's going to start training him. Now, how many of us today, if we were taken captive by an evil force or evil people and brought into their court and ordered to serve them, how many of us would rebel? How many of us, I'll just put it in today's terminology. What? Serve them? They sold this election. Amen? I'll do that. I'll do nothing. I'll sit down there. But, see, Daniel, he knew that God was in charge of his life. Did he not? Did Daniel swear allegiance to God? Yes, he did. Did Daniel love God? Yes. He served God? Yes. Wherever he went. So here, they're taken captive, brought into the king's court, going to be fed and taken care of. I mean, really taken care of good for 3 years. Well, God, you're in control of my life. I'm here. All right, I'm going to serve you. Because how much could he show God's love and light if he rebelled? If he sat down, ain't going to do it. Number one, no doubt they'd probably drag him away, throw him back with the ones that weren't fit to serve. They might execute him. But Daniel saw an opportunity to serve God and to represent God. I mean, to me it sounds like he's going to have a pretty good smorgasbord going on there. I mean, entices with food and stuff. Well, verse 8, But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the official that he might not defile himself. So right there, in captivity, I'm a captive here. God's in charge of my life. Well, go ahead, bring that wine on and bring me a couple of steaks off of that altar that we just sacrificed to the God of Baal, okay? But he said, no, even though I'm here, even though I serve God, I know that many of people around them might say, okay, well, let's just do this. They're going to bring the food to me. I'll go ahead and eat it. But he said, I'm not going to defile myself. He could have had a harden of his heart and say, okay, God, you put me here. Yeah, I'll tell him about you, but nah, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to. But man, his heart was for God. Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Wow. Stop there. When he decided, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to go away from God. I don't care what's going to end up costing me. I'm not going to compromise, is what he's saying. And the minute Daniel said, okay, I will not defile myself, he goes, oh, that's awesome. He's going to find favor with those around him, because when we decide to serve God all in and stuff, we're going to find favor in order to do what God has called us to do. Or even look at the ones in Egypt. They found favor in God's eyes. He gave them opportunity to show his strength and power. But they cried out to him and said, okay, come on. And he rescued them from Egypt. Even though they did turn back on him. Okay? Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion, verse 9, in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord and King, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces look more haggard than the youth who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. He said, man, if I don't feed you all this meat and stuff, man, you're going to get kind of skinny, raunchy. I mean, who would want to live on vegetables all their life, okay? But again, Daniel was taking a stand. I don't mind eating the vegetables. You feed it to a pig first. You know what I'm saying? But okay. If I do this and you get skinny and weak, they will kill me. And Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the official had appointed over Daniel, please test us. Test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. Wow. Okay, we're saying, will you gamble your life for us? Give us 10 days, and we're not the same as them. So the guard listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Look at the blessing of God that came on them. Think of that. Took a stance, found favor, and the blessing. Okay, you're captive, yes, you're in this area, but you're going to find favor with these people. And increase their knowledge and intelligence. Oh my. And look at the witness they are doing to their guard. The one who's holding them captive. Overseer of them. I don't really believe in this Yahweh they're talking about, but I can't. I mean, look at the difference. Them guys over here, look how healthy they are. Look how smart and intelligent they are. And they're eating the vegetables. And over here eating king's thing. Oh my. And look what they did also. They took any type of glory away from the king. The king could not boast what he did for Daniel. It's what God did. See, God does not want to share his glory with nobody. Understand that. Nobody. No, it's God, Yahweh, and that's it. And the same with us today. He doesn't want to share His glory with anything in this world. But what He needs people to do is stand up on His word, stand up, honor Him. I will not defile myself with the things of this world, and follow Him. That way, no one else can get the glory for your life other than God. Amen? I understand that. You know, we can easily step into the things of the world and do things, and other people will get credit for our life if we're doing things that God says, hey, I got you. Did we just say that God provided all our needs? We believe that? Did we trust that? Amen. Does he? As we honor Him, He'll provide your needs. There's no wants. Man, how do you do that? Well, God, Papa, I can. So, I'll ask you this. Don't answer. I'm just going to ask you this question. If this is true, and we are here designed to give God all the glory, that everything we do represent Him, why would we ever go out and buy a lottery ticket? And just, I'm going to step on your toes. I'm asking this. If God knows exactly what we need, and we follow Him, He provides exactly what we need. And as He gives to us, we grow with it, grow more. Can you imagine how much glory that I could take away from God if I bought a lottery ticket, won $1 million, bought my house, bought a car, put in an in-ground swimming pool, bought a new John Deere tractor bigger than the Mowers, okay? Well, I just want to thank God for all He's given me. Well, wasn't it a high lottery? Well, yeah, but He gave me the numbers. He gave me the number to pick. But we just got to be careful. That's all I'm saying. We have to be careful. Because as we are not defiled by the things of the world, we'll give God glory. We'll find favor in His eyes like never before. In this area that you're in right now, you think, man, I ain't got many choices. What am I going to do? You just keep following God. You do exactly what He says to do. You stay under the blood of Jesus. You just confess His word. You speak that word out. When the devil tries to tempt you to step into the world and try to cheat here and cheat there or kind of stretch the truth here, you shut him down, because I tell you what, do not be defiled by the things of this world. It will get you nowhere. Understand that? Or shut down the conversation you have of God. He'll step back and say, okay, I'll wait till you come back around. You come back around. And I'm telling you what, sooner or later, praise God, you might come back around. But Daniel had his mind set up before he was even taken captive. God is God. It doesn't matter who's in charge. I'm going to follow Him. And if I'm taken captive by Kenny Weekly today, I'll mow the grass. I'll sing a song while I'm doing it. And I'll pay for it. Oh, God, let me get a riding mower. Let him get a riding mower. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to serve God. Serve Him. And that's what Daniel did. And in verse 18, that at the end of the days which the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the official presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. Took Daniel and his buddies up here. The king talked with them, and out of them, all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael. Why can't it be Fred, just George, and Azariah? So they entered the king's personal service. Still captive, but look at the favor God's people has. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. We'll just pause there for the day. We'll continue next week, but I want you to see what Daniel's life dedicated to God did for him for God's glory. He is building up. You know, what he's saying is that they got more intelligent, more understanding than all the witchcraft out there, all the sorcerers, all the witch doctors and voodoos, all that. And it all went back, number one, his allegiance to God. But when he said, I will not defile myself. I don't care what the world says. I don't want nothing to do with it. He could have said, oh, Hey, pass me some of that steak here, will you? Now, this piece of meat, which was sacrificed for Baal on the altar, well, I think it hung off the edge of it. So it wasn't really sacrificed, you know. And you start trying to whittle down. You ever been that way before? You ever step into a fast? You ain't close to the end of it? You say, well, I said I'm going to fast till 6 o'clock, but it's 5 o'clock. Well, it's got to be 6 o'clock somewhere. You ever get to the point where you just try to... Now, if you stop me fast an hour early, I mean, it's not going to... What it would do, I truly believe, is that it's going to deflate you because you told God, hey, I'm going to fast till 6 today. And boy, I don't know, I just know myself, that I get close to the end of the fast is where I'm more alert and hearing the Word of God and strengthened. And whatever I was fasting for, dealing with, God gives me greater understanding, gives me more wisdom, gives me strength to overcome it. You get stuff you're falling into temptation all the time? Go to the Lord, fast, and say, okay, I'm going to take dominion over this body of mine. And you seek the Word of God out, and you pray, and you pour your heart out to Him, and He'll strengthen you through His Word. If you really want it. Now, if you want to hang on to stuff just to have an excuse, what I mean by that, I know a lot of folks, they love to complain about how they feel, but they never want to step in the realm of being healed completely. And what I mean by that is that they enjoy talking about it too much. If it means that so much to you, whatever it is, it could be your prayers you have for your kids and grandkids, it could be for yourself. If it truly matters to you, it matters to God. You know, if I called Brother Joe 3 times in a row on a Friday and Saturday night to come down and bail me out because my mouth got me in trouble, eventually Joe was going, okay, Starkey, I'm here, but you got to learn this. You got to quit getting your mouth into trouble. Because the time you get down there, Joe, I might have 3 or 4 black eyes. Well, not 3 or 4 black eyes, but my eyes have been blacking a couple of times, okay? Doesn't say you won't come pick me up and take me home and mend me. But you would want me to get to the point where I don't need mending because I would call you before I got myself thumped. Amen? Same way today. Call upon the Lord before you step into that arena that Satan is waiting to destroy your testimony and to try to drag you down. Call on the Lord. I got that feeling again. God, I'm feeling that way. Starkey? Yes, Lord. Shut off the news. Oh, okay. Amen? But look at Daniel. And he's going to continue. He's going to grow in favor. And yourself today. God is not done with you yet. Don't let God's message step over him and trump you down. It's to lift you up to show us, hey, okay, I need more of God's heart because my heart's not there yet. I still have things, and we're all trying to let God mend us more and more, mold us more into the image of Jesus. That's where our heart has to be. God, help me. Help me get rid of the desires of the flesh. Help me look upon you. Help me prioritize things in my life. The one thing Mom Griffin took with her, only one thing she took with her Wednesday morning, that was her decision for Jesus. Everything else she accomplished and gathered up for 83, 84 years was all passed out to grandchildren and kids and stuff. You know, awesome thing to do. But her eyes are set upon the Lord. Number one, I just pray that all eyes would be the same, more of Him. And let those who lash out at you, let this bounce off your skin, because they don't know Jesus yet. Just love them, smile at them, say encouraging words. Don't be offended by it. And under your thought or under your breath, you say, yeah, you wait. You wait. I was there once. You wait. You don't come there, Jesus. You'll be a fire for the Lord. Yesterday at the funeral, we had a bunch of little kids running around while I was talking. And I loved it. I said, don't shut him up. He's going to be a preacher. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You never know. I mean, where are you guys going to be when you grow up? Hey, God did not say I'm going to limit them to 120 years. I'm only halfway through. I'm just now hit middle age. I may have never even stepped in what God's called me to do yet. And Brother Bob, the same way, man. Same way. So be encouraged, but boy, just draw closer to God. And this week again, I'll be fasting again for our children and grandchildren and our nation. If you have anything special you want me to fast with you for, let me know or shoot me an email or however you do them things. And I'll just be in agreement with you. If there are two of us come together in agreement, man, it shall be done.